We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Bruin game summaries for the week of February 21 through 27. This is Josh Lewin. Let's get right to the week in review. There will be a makeup game with Washington coming up this coming week on Monday. Then the big home finale against USC Saturday, March the 5th. But this past week, a makeup game at home against ASU, then out on the road against the Oregon schools. UCLA now 21-6 and needing to finish strong. As for what went down with another three games in 1 week thing, a sardine can of a schedule, let's get you back courtside after that ASU game played this past Monday.
Well, as usual of late, the Bruins were without a key piece. I don't know if they're ever going to get the guys they always want to have on the court, actually on the court altogether. But tonight, without Tiger Campbell, the Bruins still found a way. In fact, after turning it over 9 times in the first half, they turned it over only 2 more times after that, and that was key because Arizona State started hitting shots in that second half. They chopped a lead that was 17 for UCLA down to one skinny little point, and then the Bruins took it over, and they won the game, Tracy, 66-52.
It's funny you say we don't know when we're going to get everybody on the court at the same time. I guarantee you if this was an NCAA game, they'll be playing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't want to say load management. That's an NBA term. But guys can't be load managing themselves, right?
Well, at the end of the day, you're never going to be 100%. So you only have so many games left in your career. Not everybody's going to the NBA. You know, you hope that some of these guys go, but it's not guaranteed. So what are you sitting out for?
The Bruins, with what they had tonight, really pushed it down the stretch, and a guy that kept on pushing and kept on pushing all night was number 24 in your game program, Jaime Jaquez Jr. is going to join us right now. And it's funny because this game, I think just like the one the other night, Jaime didn't start great, right? I mean, you guys were 2-for-10, I think, tonight. It was 0-for-8 the other night. You had 3 turnovers before the first TV timeout. We're looking around like, what's going on? Then you figured it out. The team figured it out. What was the light bulb moment? What happened to switch it to a positive?
I think it was just kind of just trusting our offense, trusting what we needed to do. Kind of just coming into this game, trying to figure it out and things like that. And I think we're just trusting our offense and trusting that we're going to get good shots and really just focusing on our defensive effort on the other end.
Do you think the Sun Devil defense pressure had anything to do with it?
I think, you know, we're playing, coming into this game, we came off, you know, 2 teams that play, you know, kind of a zone. And coming into this was kind of just, how do I say, just something completely different. You know what I mean? Some team that gets up completely in front of you. And, you know, we were preparing, you know, for two other teams before that. So I think maybe that had something to do with it.
Okay.
So
chatting with Jaime Jaquez Jr., who once again gets a double-double against Arizona State. And two very different games, right? Yeah. I mean, at their place, 27-11, you were doing it all. You really had to scrap for your 10 rebounds. You had four offensive rebounds in this game. Is that a point of pride for you?
Yeah, they were telling me get on the offensive glass and, you know, kind of just try to do whatever we can to just pound that offensive glass and get second shots.
Once you play this game at a high level, you're never going to be 100%. That's why I'm happy to see you gutting through your injuries and stuff like that. How are you feeling right now?
I mean, today I felt really good. I can't lie. Warming up, I was shocked. You know, I just went out there today. We did treatment, and I was feeling really good, probably the best I felt in a little while. So I was just really happy to get out there and help my team win.
I know you got to be super frustrated that you're dealing with the ankle issues. What do they tell you, Jaime? I mean, because, and I know you're going to credit the training staff. I'm sure they'll do such a great job. But just educate us. I mean, is it something that literally kind of comes and goes, or how does this work?
Yeah, so it's just kind of something that's a day-by-day thing. You know, we try to treat it as best we can every single day. Big props to Tyler Lesher, who helps me. We're in early mornings and, you know, after games, doing whatever we can to get my ankle feeling as best as possible. So I really give credit to him. And it's just a day-by-day process right now.
When it comes down to shooting a basketball, ankles, of course, sometimes is an Achilles heel or a thorn in your side, so to speak, when it comes to shooting the ball. But you shot 2-for-3 from three tonight.
Yeah, that was something I've been working on a lot, you know, just trying to get in the gym, get as many reps up as possible for the free throw line as well. I mean, that's honestly what I was most happy about, going 5-for-5 from the line.
Yeah,
so, you know, just I work with Coach Palmer every day after practice to shoot free throws. So I was just really happy to display that today.
One more for you before you go, Jaime. The J Brigade continues to just do whatever they want. I mean, there's a Jaime, there's a Jake, there's a Johnny, there's a Jules. Yeah. I got to ask you about Jalen, though.
Yeah.
Jalen Clark continues to, I mean, every time they start, Jalen Clark, I mean, it's 3 steals and 9 rebounds and 16 points. He is a whirlwind out there.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's something that we see every day in practice. Unfortunately, you know, he had some injuries along the way during the season, and I honestly really hurt our team because we miss him so much. He does so much for us on the court, and I'm just so happy to see him. He works so hard in practice and just try to get better every day, and I'm just so happy you guys all get to see, you know, what we see every day in practice. So I'm really happy for him, and, you know, props to Jalen.
Well, you got your revenge against Arizona State. Continue the revenge tour in Eugene, if you want, on Thursday. Yeah. And congratulations, buddy. That was a heck of an effort
tonight.
Thank
you very much. Appreciate it.
Good game.
Way to
Thank
go.
You,
Jaime Jaquez Jr., Triple J, knocking down some J's in this game. And as he said, some key free throws, too. I'm sure we'll talk to Mick Cronin about it when he comes out. But if you go 18-for-20 at the free throw line, that's a great sign that you're going to win a ball game.
Oh, yeah, that's getting it done, and that's showing that you're aggressive, too. You're putting your head down. You're getting to the cup. You're drawing fouls. And you're actually getting there and knocking them down.
Two double-doubles for Jaquez in two games against Arizona State in basically 2 weeks. And the Bruins only committed 9 fouls in this game, Tracy. So to your point, Arizona State only shot 4 free throws. Bruins got there 20 times. And we got to give a little love to David Singleton, too, because when the game shrunk to a 2-point lead, he feathered in a 3. Then it shrunk to a 1-point lead. He did it again. Both times looked like the Bruins were going to stumble their way to a deficit. David Singleton said no thank you.
Dave hit 2 big threes to give the Bruins breathing room. And that was enough breathing room that was needed for the momentum moving towards the end of the game, where they went on a run and ended up winning by double figures.
Matter of fact, a 20-7 run down the stretch. Defense wins games, I hear. So the
championships.
Yeah, Bruins, well, hopefully you're right. Bruins again hold an opponent into the 50s, if not the 40s here. Looked like it would be the 40s for a while. The last 6 home games, the average score by an opponent is 52.5 points. And, yep, sure enough, 52 for Arizona State tonight. Bruins had 66 as they get to 20-5 for the year.
It's time now to get to Coach Mick Cronin, courtesy of our friends at Guerrilla Marketing. And you've heard me talk them up, and I hope you've taken heed. When it's time to market or brand your company, not only does Guerrilla Marketing have the amazing experience, but they've got those deep ties to the blue and gold as well. They'll be turning Paulie blue with those blue t-shirts, blanketing everyone coming up for that USC game, I'm sure. This is the company that prints the Bruin Blue magazine, the Rose Bowl Stadium Guide, on and on and on. Guerrilla Marketing, a pleasure to work with and ready to take on your order no matter how big or how small. All right, so after that Arizona State game,
Let's hear what Mick Cronin had to say.
The guys played defense. They hit free throws. They stopped turning the ball over. That was kind of our summation, Mick. Are there any of those three things that are more important than the others, or was it all of that? How do you see it?
Can't score. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can't score if you don't get a shot off.
This is true.
You know, we were over dribbling for a while there, trying to we had some guys trying to stop Arizona State's run on their own. And they're trying to help their team, but the way to help your team is against that team is you got to drive the pass. They're going to strip you every time. So once we got the ball moving again, Dave hit a couple big ones for us. Cody stepped up big. Jaime got the ball in the basket. You know, third game in 5 days, you know, playing without Tiger and Peyton, especially Tiger, obviously, with his shoulder. He was just sore after shoot-around today and didn't feel like he could get enough extension on his arm. So that was that. So we didn't really – but he went through shoot-around. So what was the problem was we prepared to play with him.
Right.
So we had a pregame meeting on, Jaime and Jalen Clark bringing it up because I didn't want their guards pressuring Jules in the backcourt because they got obviously extremely quick, speedy guys.
Yeah.
You know, and Jules is 6'6", and I didn't want to put him in that position. So, but all that stuff you mentioned, Josh, is important. You know, you can't score if you don't – you can't get a rebound if you don't turn it – you got to take care of it. You turn it over, you can't score it, can't get fouled, can't get a rebound. Once we stop turnovers, yep. Score, rebound, foul. Then you extend the lead back in.
All right, there is Mick Cronin. And on it was to the games on the road. A disappointment, to be sure, in Eugene. Tough place to win, always seems to be. Bruins had this one in their sights, could not stick the landing. Let's get you back courtside. Well, once again, the Bruins just cannot figure out how to beat the Oregon Ducks. Tonight they shot only 37% from the field at the Bruins. 4 of 24 from distance, and they had to hustle to get there. At one point, they missed 15 threes in a row. Oregon shooting 10 more free throws than UCLA and making so many of them. That was a big deal, too. 68-63, Oregon wins it.
They were the more aggressive team for most of this game. The Bruins got aggressive for about 10 minutes of this game, and they got back in it and took the lead by two. And then after that, they got soft again. They didn't play aggressive after that.
They had a 19-5 run to take away what was a 13-point Oregon lead. And we're thinking, wow, I mean, this is really impressive stuff. But just as quickly as the Bruins overtook them, they started firing up some weird shots.
Shot selection.
Yeah, and Oregon for the game, a plus 11 on rebounds. I'm surprised to report that to you. At one point, they were a plus 18. Bruins got it down to a plus 11. Cody Riley had a season high in points with 12, and he had to hustle to get to 4 rebounds. For most of the game, he only had 1. Miles Johnson, who's been coming on of late, only played 13 minutes tonight and really did not have a chance to make a difference. Jalen Clark had a quick start to this game. He always does. 5 points, 3 rebounds in the first 3 minutes, but his final 21 and a half minutes, Tracy, somehow he had no points and 2 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, you see where... Guy, you can't play 20 minutes. You can't play 30 minutes and beat good teams. You have to play a full 40 minutes, especially on the road in somebody else's house in front of their home fans. You can't think that you can play hard for 10 minutes and steal the game at the end. You got to, at some point, set the tone of how you're going to play, and this is going to be this way for the rest of the game.
Frank Kepnong deserves some credit for Oregon. You know, Dante didn't do much. We were really worried about him as the big man. Kepnong almost had a double-double, and he had 3 key blocks in the first half. The Bruins kept going up kind of soft, and Kepnong kept blocking everything.
Dante is more the athlete. Kepnong is the physical guy. And he physically punished the Bruins in the first half, shot blocking, making guys feel it coming in the paint, and getting some dunks as well, one off of a lob and another one off of a pass, a shuffle pass.
We need to mention Johnny Juzang was not available the entire second half, and you wonder if that would have made a difference as the Bruins just were not making those threes, couldn't get good shots off. You know, maybe this is one of those nights Johnny wouldn't have had it either, but you would have loved to have seen him been out there in the second half at least a little.
Yeah, of course, you want to see him out there, but if he's not equipped to play, then it's next man up, and you got to always have the next man up mentality when you're playing this year. That's what's been going on. Guys have been dropping like flies. Next man up. Be ready to go.
Final again, 68-63 in favor of Oregon.
And after it was all done, a very quick chat with Mick Cronin.
Mick, I thought you had him when you had that 19-5 run. What was it that got you back in the game?
Well, at that point, we were being out-rebounded by 15. We finally got some stops, gave ourselves a chance. But it's hard to win. You go 4-for-24 from three. It's really hard to win. In college basketball, you know, the way our game is this day and age, we have four more field goals than them. I'm not going to say anything more about that. We forced 19 turnovers. We're plus 10 in points off turnovers. We're plus 10 in second chance points. We're minus 10 at the foul line. There was a lot of contact on our guys going at the rim. But that being said, I thought our defensive rebounding left a lot to be desired. And our passing. We had three assists in the first half.
Right.
We really struggled to be committed to moving the ball to each other. That's a real problem for us at times. And it's a constant fight for me when I think that should be maybe because I played point guard, but to me that should be the easiest thing for a team that wants to win. Moving the ball and finding the open man should be an easy thing. But right now, it's been a struggle for us all year, to be honest with you.
To your point, I mean, I don't think we'll see the Bruins miss 15 straight threes again this year. Hope not. How's Johnny Juzang?
I don't know. The game just ended.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick on Oregon, because you got to get going. I know you want to try to give them some credit. Kepnong obviously was a game changer in the first half, blocking shots and all that. Thought you did a really nice job on a lot of their guards in this game, but is it just at the end they just had enough to push?
When we fought back, took the lead, and immediately foul and give up, and we took some bad shots. We got a 1-point lead, and we got them dead late in the clock. We let Will Richardson drive left middle out of the left corner. It's just an egregious error defensively. That was Jules on that particular one. So we struggled to stay in front of them. That's why they end up with 24 free throws. And that was the difference right there, down the stretch. We didn't get good looks at the rim. Our looks at the rim left a lot to be desired down the stretch, other than the one possession where we had multiple threes unguarded and couldn't make one.
All right, fair enough.
It's like the USC game all over again.
Very much so. Mick, thank you. We'll see you in Corvallis.
Right, bud,
okay.
So on to Oregon State. This was a day game, senior day at Oregon State, a team that came in 3-23, losers of 13 straight, but absolutely due to bust out. Let's get you courtside. Here's what Tracy and I were talking about when it was done in Corvallis. Well, suffice to say, there was no storming of the court in this one on the road. The Bruins, after losing to Oregon Thursday night, steamrolled Oregon State today, 94-55. It's a 14-game losing streak for the Wayne Tinkles right now. They are 1-16 overall in conference. They've just given up 94 in back-to-back games, Tracy, exactly 94. But here's the difference. Against USC, that game went double overtime. It was 94-91. This one had Russell Stong in it with 5 minutes to go. 94-55, not 94-91. The Bruins winning by 39.
Well, it was good to see everyone get into the act. And it started on the defensive end with everybody. Even the guys that came in off the bench late, they turned the game up another level with their defense. And then it created great opportunities for them offensively.
Hard to really figure out where to begin with this galaxy of great stats to give you, but the rebound advantage of 36-18, I know will make Mick Cronin very happy, because the Bruins were out-rebounded by 11 just the other night. They made almost every free throw, did the Bruins, so they were 13-15. And you know what? They made almost every three-pointer, too. Seriously, 13-20, this after going 4-for-24. The other night. That included it missing 15 in a row. They never missed three in a row in this game from distance.
Well, as I said during the broadcast, I hope they're not leaving the shot here. You want them to take some of this to Washington. You don't want to come up empty and not be able to make shots, out in Washington. There's one more game on this road trip.
It's funny, too. Tiger Campbell led everybody in scoring with 20. He also had 5 assists, no turnovers, all that in only 24 minutes. Hawkins had the huge first half with 14 points on his way to 17. Those were the two Bruin leading scorers. But I'm going to try to sell you, Tracy, on two other guys here for co-MVPs of this game. Jules Bernard and Jalen Clark were each a plus 38 in this game. Jalen only played 20 minutes to get to a plus 38, and he was just poking away basketballs, stealing basketballs. He had a few rebounds. He went 5 out of 7 from the field. Jules Bernard, 5 of 9 from the field, and he hit 3 threes in this game. And that's really something to talk about because Jules has really been struggling from distance, as we know.
Yeah, it's good to see him going, but you also got to look at Miles Johnson. Miles Johnson, he may have been 1 of 1 from the floor, but he's a plus 24. He's an impact when he's in the game, altering shots, blocking shots. Tiger Campbell, you know, what can you say he had? And Jaime Jaquez, he had him going in the first half. He really got him off to a really good start.
All right, so there you have it. Let's now move to Coach Mick Cronin. Presumably happy coach joining us right now. He always tells us defense leads to offense, and I think that happened here today. At one point, Mick, you guys were 23-2 at one point in points off of turnovers. That was among the galaxy of things we can point out. But you got to be so thrilled with how your guys went out there today.
Yeah, look, it's been a long year for us with the COVID and the multiple injuries, and it never seems to stop. And, you know, it doesn't bother me, I don't think, but sometimes I got to do a better job of trying to figure out what's – I'm oblivious because I'm so oblivious to the outside pressures. I'm so focused. You guys know how I am. I could walk right by you, may not see you. I'm thinking about the game and preparation. It's probably not good for my family life. Just how I am. So, and the reason I bring it up, I just think, you know, I was – really thinking all night last night about what I can do to help our team. And what I came up with was, you know, it was trying to – they've got to smile, high five, and have fun playing basketball while trying to win.
Right.
While trying to win. You know, I don't know if I'm right, but, I you know, my assessment could be, you know, sometimes the pressure – of the expectations this season. These guys have never had them.
Right.
You know, they've never been a part of that. And, you know, with a lot of eyes on them, because they became, you know, quote-unquote America's team during that run, you know, with the underdog Cinderella run to the Final Four. So I just haven't seen enough happiness from them, smiling, talking, excitement to play. You know, and almost, you know, just the pressure, you know. So I've tried to tell them, you know, you got to go out and perform. You got a career. You got a chance. And you got to help each other and just go get it, man. Just go after it. Let's go after it. You know, and be ready to go out there and perform for yourselves. For yourselves, not for anybody else. Mm-hmm. Nothing against our fans, but you know you got to play. You got to play for yourself. You can't worry about what your other people hang on you or what you're supposed to do. They used to call that senioritis back in the day, right? When everybody stayed in school.
Back when they were seniors, yeah.
You know, but you know the pressure of I only got a few games left. I got to perform and my future. How about let's just go have some fun with my teammates? Mm-hmm. Because when you get old and you got jobs and bills and kids, man, it's a little bit different story. So right now, let's just go have as much fun as you can, man, and play your butt off.
All right, so you've heard from Mick Cronin. I think maybe one of these times it's time to hear from an assistant coach, and that time is now. Michael Lewis does a fantastic job, along with Rod Palmer and Darren Savino. We had some time to check in with Coach Lewis recently, and he's up in our spotlight here. He had quite a playing career at Indiana as their point guard. This interview presented by the Pernia Law Group and the irrepressible Artie Pernia, UCLA grad who's rolling up his sleeves, going to work for you when you need him to do so. And even if you don't have a pressing legal need right now, Artie can walk you through some important points when it comes to making sure that you and your family don't have to walk through life in a state of worry about what is next. The best type of insurance to have, all the things you need to protect yourself. This is the guy you want to talk to. And Pernia Law is the official law firm and sponsor of UCLA Athletics. Go to plglaw.com to coordinate your free consultation. So without any further delay, let's introduce you to the former Indiana Hoosier, native Hoosier, Coach Lewis.
We must begin there because for those of us living in California, we like to think this is the best brand of basketball. We live it. We know it. But where you grew up, I'm sure you felt differently. Tell me about Jasper, Indiana, and your humble upbringings.
Well, Jasper's a town in southwestern Indiana, kind of between Evansville and Indianapolis, if people know where that is. I was an hour and a half south of Bloomington, where IU is. It was about 10,000 people when I was growing up. It's a little bit larger now. But it's a very very humble town, hardworking. A lot of woodworking businesses are in town, and just, you know, I thought it was a really, really good place to grow up. They support their high school athletics. You know, we had a gym of 5,200, and I think my senior year we sold over 3,800 season tickets. So, you know, they're very supportive, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, you know, a community that gets behind its athletics. And it's a fun place to grow up, fun place to play high school basketball. And then, you know, obviously having the chance to play high school basketball in Indiana. At that time, we were still under the single class tournament where there was just one champion. So a lot of fun memories.
So for all your plaudits, and for those that don't know, I mean, this is a guy that went on to have a 15-assist game at Indiana, all kinds of incredible scoring titles and things that he accomplished in high school. Probably still only the second most famous athlete out of Jasper behind Scott Rowland. So I got to ask you about your association with the Rowland family.
Well, Scott was a senior when I was a freshman, and was, you know, really helped me a lot. You know, coming in as a freshman and kind of paving the way for being accepted by the upperclassmen, you know, with a freshman coming in and trying to play on the varsity. And, you know, Scott, you know, I've said it many times. I believe that he's the best athlete that I've competed with or against. And I've competed against a bunch of NBA players through, you know, throughout, you know, my career playing in college. He's just, you know, it didn't matter what it was. You know, you want to go play ping pong, he was going to be the best, right? You know, he's just one of those guys. And obviously, hopefully he's on the cusp of getting into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. He's got a ton of gold gloves and all-star appearances, but you know, he was just a guy from Jasper, and yeah. You know, even throughout all his success, he's kind of maintained you know, who he is and stayed true to himself, and a special guy. So it was obviously a lot of fun to play you know, with him. He was a Indiana all-star as a basketball player, averaged like 26, 27 a game his senior year, which was my freshman year. I joke around, the only year in high school I passed the ball was my freshman year of high school. But, you know, obviously went on and had a great, great career playing baseball and just an all-around good guy.
You've been able to recruit and coach some really talented guards who do know how to pass at Nebraska, at Butler, and obviously here now at UCLA. What's the ceiling for Tiger Campbell, and how coachable is he?
He's coachable. I think the ceiling for Tiger is whatever he wants it to be. You know, I think, you know, the getting him to be consistent, not only in his play in games, but his play in practice, will help elevate his play. You know, and you know, I talk with him all the time. Like, you know, there's two guys in our program that can't have a bad day, and that's Coach Cronin and you. You know, and you know, there's, I look at the point guard position in college as like a quarterback. You know, there's a lot of responsibility that goes at. Like, you get to put on a UCLA jersey and you get to be a point guard at UCLA. Like, that's pretty cool. You know, yeah. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with that, and it's been fun to watch him, you know, kind of grow and improve over these 2.5, going on 3 years, and you know, I just look at him. You look at where the work he did in the offseason to improve his 3-point shooting. You know, when he's willing to put into work and that consistent effort on a daily basis, then his play rises. And when his play rises, you know, we go to a Final Four.
Right.
And that's how I think important his position is for us. Is when he's good, we're really good.
I'd be killed if I didn't spend one of our 5 minutes together asking you about your time in Indiana playing for Bob Knight. Not that you can fill me with 100 stories in 60 seconds, but what did you learn, good or bad, about that experience?
Well, I think everybody has a different relationship that you know, played for him. I look at mine, like, I think the one thing that we can all agree on is that he gave us a foundation to be successful. You know, he taught us how to be men. He taught us how to be successful in life. Just like what we try to do with our guys here at UCLA. You're trying to give them a, you know, there's not, TJ Wolf's not going to be here every day to make sure you're going to class. You know, there's going to be a time that you have to grow up. And I think that when we left Indiana, all of us can feel pretty confident that we were prepared to be successful in life. And like, you know, I tell people when I go out and do different speaking things, and because everybody has a different opinion of Coach Knight. I was very fortunate to get the opportunity to play for him and know him and work for him. And I say it all the time, like, I hope, whether you like him or don't like him, it doesn't matter. But I hope that – I know how I feel about him and my relationship with him and how I feel about that. I hope that the guys that I've been able to coach and get the opportunity to coach here, I hope that they feel the way about me the way that I do about him.
All right, thanks so much to Coach Lewis. And, hey, before we go, a reminder that last home game is Saturday the 5th against USC. And, boy, do the Bruins owe the Trojans, having lost to them 5 straight times. This is Josh Lewin. Appreciate you listening. 4's up, and go Bruins.